Get ourselves settled down, we'll get off to start. Okay, so we'll take any apologies. Well, it's very few tonight. Probably Hart and Liz Kimmins. Gillian Fitzpatrick.
I've got that on the list.
Okay. So after item 16 tonight, we're going to have an emergency motion on the proposals to, or the survey work that's been done on the disposal of radioactive waste in the Mourns. We'll have to go suspensed on orders for that, and we'll do that when the time comes. Few congratulations for tonight. So, Councillor Liz Kimmins, congratulating her on the birth of her healthy baby boy on Friday. Send her best wishes. And then for Clonduff Camogies, they've reached the All Ireland final, which will be held in the beginning of March. So, we wish them the best of luck for that. We had a very useful meeting with the British Irish parliamentarians, came along to see best practice around regeneration of towns, and they looked at Newcastle for that, and they were very impressed with all the scene and the amount of work and the approach that the then Down Council took as a bottom-up approach involving the community from the very start. So very well. And then we launched our YASTAs. So nominations are still open to the 22nd of February, so if you know any young people that deserve a nomination for that, if you can keep that in mind. And we also had our night then to celebrate 45 years of Dermot Kern being a councillor in the Millbrook Lodge, which was a very successful night, I think, for everyone. Brian Dermot wants to speak there, if you wouldn't mind turning off your microphones.
Just, Mr. Chairman, it was a very overwhelming night and a very emotional night, I must say, as far as I was concerned. I'm sure you heard that in the voices they got there. And, you know, it was remarkable, all the good wishes that I had and all the kind remarks that people made for me. I sometimes wonder whether they're talking about me at all, you know, but anyway, I must say that It's still much, very much in my memory, and I'd like to thank you yourself and the Chief Executive and all those people who helped to make it that night. And it was very much appreciated by myself and by my family and all the rest of the people here, the councillors and our people who and our partners who attended it. It just made it that very special night, and I want to really thank you for it.
Thank you, Councillor Kerr. We also have our MMD Connect, which is all I've got a copy of today, so give us a rundown of what we've been doing across the council for the last year.
Chairman, it's the last 12 months. Again, electronic versions will be putting hyperlinks on from social media, be available from all our local facilities, community centres, leisure centres right across the district, and even our civic centres. So again, Chairman, it's an update really in terms of from the all the activities really the council's done during the year, but also information in terms of Council's resident survey and also information regarding how the money is spent and how money is allocated across the council. So, again, a very useful reference point for the ratepayers of the district.
Well, it's very relevant that it's launched tonight with the business order doing later on. Councillor Quinn.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I would like for this council to send out letters to relevant bodies, both the television company and the Newcastle Chamber of Commerce, for assigning a very popular TV soap to the Newcastle area in the shape of Emmerdale, and offering any other of our council facilities, you know, a willingness to work with these TV companies who come to our area to try and facilitate more of this in the future. Because as was evidenced with the likes of Game of Thrones and now Emmerdale, you know, we do have a very beautiful area. And I think anything we could do to highlight it on television as a serious tourist destination has to be welcomed.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Quinn. We'll move on to item 2. Sorry? Television company, production companies. Any declarations of interest?
out.
Councillor Hannah?
An SPR, I'm on the board of Moan Stimulus there, and I think it will be coming out about the lease from that sort of one.
Okay. Anyway. Okay. We'll move on to item three, and to set the district rates of the financial year 1920 as required under Section 3 of the Local Government Finance Act, NI. I'll hand you over to Tarina.
Thank you, Chair. Members, there's an extensive report in front of you tonight. We're asking for a decision as laid out at Section 3. Just to give you some background, you'll be aware that the Local Government Finance Act, Northern Ireland 2011, requires that a council shall fix for the next financial year the amount estimated to be required to be raised by means of rates made by the council. So in preparation for this, all members have been invited to various meetings of the Efficiencies Working Group to consider in detail the budgets and the estimates of this council with a view to fulfilling the requirement of the 2011 Act and to set a rate for the 1920 financial year. So before, members, I ask you to approve the recommendation set out in Section 3, you are required to consider a submission made by the Chief Executive in relation to the adequacy of the Council's reserves, and I'll pass you over to Liam.
Chairman, in accordance with the requirements of the Local Government Act, Finance Act, Northern Ireland 2011, I, as the Chief Executive and Chief Financial Officer, am required to provide you with assurance on the robustness of the revenue estimates and adequacy of the Council reserve position as part of the rate-setting process. We've brought forward together proposals, but before we do that, I want to raise a number of significant uncertainties within the current estimates, which have arisen due to the current political instability of the Northern Ireland Executive, uncertainties around the Brexit and the potential significant reduction in rate support grant. First of all, in terms of political instability, you know, we as yet do not know the regional rate, so therefore we're setting the rates when we don't know that. And that is an impact for us because, first of all, is we don't know the final requirement of the rate support grant, and we've made an estimate in regard to the level of rate support grant, but that may change depending on the Assembly's budget. Also, members will be aware that we get a number of other significant grants from the executive, various executive departments, including, for example, PCSP funding, to name funding regarding communities. So a number of grants which we still have no knowledge of. The current political impasse and political lack of decision around Brexit could have further financial implications on the Council, both internally and externally. Again, we need to consider that there in terms of what impact that will have and in terms of whatever deal or no deal arises from that. Again, in autumn 2018, a successful judicial review challenge to the rate support grant resulted in significant reduction in rate support grant paid to Newry Moran and Down District Council. This year we received a payment from the Department for Communities, a one-off payment, extraordinary payment from them. We do not know what the position will be this year going forward, and therefore we have made that allowance within our reserves. But again, if there's any changes to that there, that could have a further impact on us. However, Chairman, I am pleased to report that I am satisfied the estimates presented, subject to significant uncertainties noted above, should provide adequate financial resources to support the running costs of the Council for 2019-2020. And the reasonable consideration of financial risks to the Council have been made in preparation of the estimates. The Council's general fund balance is forecast to be in the region of $12 million at the 1st of April 2019, representing 20% of its gross expenditure. I am therefore content that the current reserves held by the Council are adequate. Thank you, Chair. Katrina, yours?
Yep. So, following on from that, members, I'd just like to direct you to item 3 of the report, and I'm seeking approval tonight for the considerations and recommendations of the Efficiencies Working Group as contained in Appendix 6, and having regard to the Chief Executive's statement as required by the Local Government Finance Act, we're asking members tonight to 1. Approve an increase in the district rate for 2019-20 of 1.99% based on an estimated penny product of 2347835, meaning a non-domestic rate of 24.2403 pence and a domestic rate of 0.3893. In addition, to approve the medium-term financial plan and authorise the 2019-20 expenditure included in the estimates at Appendix 1, to approve the capital strategy report for 2019-20 as required by the FIFA Prudential Code and included at Appendix 2, to approve the four-year capital programme as included at Appendix 3, to approve the Treasury Management Strategy Statement 2019-20 as included as Appendix 4, and to approve the Minimum Revenue Provision Statement 2019-20 as included at Appendix 5. So I'm seeking a proposer and seconder tonight. Thank you.
Okay, Adrian, just before we go to the proposer and seconder, I'd like to thank the officers for all the work they've done, and indeed the councillors that have been on the Efficiency Working Group to be able to bring us to a satisfactory rate of 1.99. So we can take a proposer and a seconder, please. Councillor Stokes.
Happy to propose, sir.
Thank you. Councillor Owen.
Yeah, happy to second it, sir.
Okay. Everybody in agreement? Yeah. Okay, thank you. Are we moving on? Okay, so we'll move on to the action sheet arising of the council meeting held on the 7th of January 2019. Liam.
Chairman, all actions have been completed. I want to just update you in relation to the penultimate action there regarding Strangford Ferry. We, myself and Stephen Reid, the Chief Executive of North Down and Ards, met with the Transport Department for Infrastructure, Transport NI officers. They're going forward to look at some options regarding the points that were raised by members at the meeting, and hope to bring forward options and proposals for us to consider going forward. So again, Chairman, that's on progress, and we'll bring it back to the next council meeting when we get details on that.
Okay, thank you there. I'm going to help in up there. Michael, do you want in there? That's all.
Yeah.
No. Okay, so we'll move on to the minutes of the council meeting held on the 7th of January 2019. Again, for accuracy, it was page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. Proposer and a seconder. Councillor McMahon, proposal. Councillor McIntyre, second. Any matters arising? None. Okay, so we'll move on then to the minutes of the Enterprise Regeneration and Tourism Committee held on the 14th of January. Again, for accuracy, so it's page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. And proposer? Councillor Burgess and Councillor McMahon. Any matters arising? No. So we'll move on to the minutes of the Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee meeting held on the 17th of January. Again, for accuracy, with page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Councillor Burgess. Second or fragrance accuracy? Councillor Rowan. Matters arising, Councillor Devlin.
Thank you, Chair. It's an issue in terms of page 5, in terms of surplus assets. My query relates to Linkside Park in Newcastle, and I received a number of calls from residents after the article appeared in the Morning Observer last week, that they talked about the retaining the patch of as the actual open green space there. I know that it's been recommended in the report to be disposed of. Apparently this area, it is quite tucked away and wouldn't be an area that would be very visible in terms of locality, but it is an area that's been used by local residents for a kickabout, and the Linkside Park fairways, the orchards and railway cottages in Newcastle. And I do apologise, Chair, I know it's been through the SPW Working Group and also to the SPNR Committee, but only for being the Morning Observer, I wouldn't have been aware of the actual usage that there is in that area. So I suppose what I'm asking tonight is if we can maybe look at removing that from that list for further examination.
Okay. Serena, would you like to?
Yeah. Just by way of clarity, there has been two previous council decisions in relation to this piece of land, and one by the Legacy Council back in October 2011, and then by this council back in March 2018. The lands are held by council under conveyance from the Northern Ireland Housing Executive. and on the decision of the Legacy Council that this was no longer required, it was agreed that these lands would revert back to the Housing Executive. This became quite a protracted process because there is an encroachment on the piece of land, and the paper which went to PNR in March 18 granted approval for council to regularise that encroachment and then to transfer the remainder of the land back to the Housing Executive. Now, on the basis of that, solicitors have been instructed, and once that encroachment is regularised, they'll be surrendered back to the Housing Executive. Now, certainly we can make the concerns known to the Housing Executive that you're raising, Councillor.
Okay, so I suppose it's, thank you, Katrina. In the meantime, though, this will be removed from that list that we have.
Yeah, it's showing up because it's still sitting in our books until such times as that that piece of work is done. So it's already underway, the process to revert back to the Housing Executive based on the FCNR decision back in March of 18.
Given that usage, then I can make representations to the Housing Executive about the retention.
Yeah, okay. And we can do similar.
Okay, thank you for that information. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Devlin. Councillor Quinn.
Yes, Chair. Summer item, the Vogue Cinema Town Hall in Kilkeel. Could that be deferred back to the Moors DEA for discussion and debate as to a way forward? It is a listed building, and a lot of the residents of Kilkeel would be very proud of that building. And over the years, there has been a number of people have expressed an interest in doing something with it. And just to see, is that building still there? Thank you.
Thanks. Henry, are you on the same issue?
Yeah.
Well, do you want to speak on it first?
I'm on that.
Oh, sorry, Bob.
I'm on the same issue, but I'm just waiting if you're willing. Are you talking to Kilkeel?
Alright, so, well, Henry, you're talking about Kilkeel, and then. And okay. Well, exactly, I'm going to take it you're not talking about Kilkeel. Will you turn off then and on again? Let Bob on again.
Yeah, thanks, Chairman. Just, I was going to raise that issue that Brian's already raised, and. We actually had a meeting last week with the rural development people, and they have said that the building as it sits could actually meet the criteria for funding that they have. And we actually agreed at that DEA meeting that we would ask for this to be deferred to investigate all those opportunities. And I would remind the council that the last time we put this up, for sale, there was zero interest in it because of the amount of asbestos in it. It's okay so long as you don't touch it. You can work around it, and if there is some way of getting local community use, it would be very well received within Mourne. Chairman, also just on it, would there be any possibility that we could dig out the weeds around it and maybe throw like a paint on it? It's the first major building that you see on the way into Kilkeel, and it's not very attractive at the moment. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Clark.
Chair, I wouldn't agree with the proposal to send it back to the DAA. This has been kicking about the DAA for a number of years. We've had a number of discussions at the DAA. We've had all these interested people who would like to use it, allegedly. They never appear. There's always this talk about these people's really interested, and when they see the extensive works that is required, they decide to look elsewhere for community use, and so apparently there is an individual interest in purchasing the site. It was spoke at our last meeting of our strategic assets meeting, and so I disagree. I think we should continue allow it to stay in the process.
Are you making that proposal, Councillor Clark? Right. The proposal by Councillor Clark, seconded by Councillor Dorn. Okay. Yeah, so can we need to put that to the vote?
Yeah.
So those in favour?
Favour
of Councillor Clark's proposal.
That we
keep it on the list.
I suppose I think it's actually probably the proposal originally is Brian's proposal that we retain it. So the recommendation is to dispose of it. So Brian's recommending that we bring it back to the DA. So you have a seconder in terms of Henry for that. So I think that's the proposal. Right. That's Paul's then. the recommendation from the lead chairman.
I'm going to feel very diminished.
Yeah. No, I understand that. So we will just. I know that. Yes. Yeah. Right. So. Can we have those in agreement for taking it to the Morrissey?
Proposal from Councillor Quinn, seconded by Councillor Reddy, that referred back to the Morrissey.
Okay, so a proposal from Councillor Quinn, seconded by Councillor Reddy, to revert the disposal of the cinema town hall site back to the Mourne's DEA.
Chairman, maybe could I ask that the amended Council Strategic Projects deal with Mourne DEA councillors as part of the Strategic Projects Working Group, just to keep the things together, because rather than taking two bites of it, if members, if Councillor Quinn's happy enough with that, Councillor Reilly? Okay. Sorry, just bring it back for further discussion.
Okay. Are you ready for a recorded vote?
Yeah.
Okay, so Councillor Andrews, Councillor Bailey.
Better order, please, Henry and Glynn.
Councillor Brown. Councillor Burgess. Councillor Byrne. Councillor Carr. Councillor Casey.
Yes, sir.
Councillor Clark. Councillor Craig, Councillor Kern, Councillor Devlin, Councillor Dorn, Councillor Enright, Councillor Fitzpatrick,
absent,
Councillor Hannah, Councillor Hart is absent, Councillor Harvey, Councillor Harty, Councillor Hyle, Councillor Highland. Councillor Kimmins is absent. Councillor Larkin?
Yes.
Councillor Loughlin? Councillor McCauley? Councillor McAteer? Councillor McMahon? Councillor McMurray? Councillor Mulgrew? Councillor Mernon? Councillor O'Murray?
Yes.
Councillor Quinn? Councillor Riley? Councillor Rice? Councillor Luan? Councillor Savage, Councillor Sharvin, Councillor Stokes, Councillor Taylor, Councillor Tinley, Councillor Traynor, Councillor Walker. So we have 25 for, 13 against, and no abstentions. So the motion is carried.
Okay, the motion is carried then. So. Yeah. Councillor O'Meara.
Yeah, thanks, sir. Just looking back on the minutes here, I made a recommendation or proposal at that SPNR meeting on the D1 process that several bits of land in Steve Gullion would be referred back to the DEA meetings. I was told at that it couldn't go back to the DEA meetings, but that they were going to go back to the Strategic Projects Working Group. Just off the top of my head, I had a bit of land in Glasdrumman, Lismore Park, Mersfield and Camlin were three of them. So sort of spoke with some of the community workers in those areas and told them that was going to be, but I can't say it in the minutes here, so just in case there's any confusion, am I right in my recollections?
Yeah, they were removed from the recommendation, so the recommendation was only those lands that we were taking forward. There were four pieces of land which were referred back to the Strategic Projects Working Group then.
That's okay, thanks.
Okay. Councillor McAteer, did you want it?
Yeah, Chair. It was just on the very last of them, of the fished items, and it was on the lands adjacent to Derelict Plainfields. Just to get clarification exactly where, because I'm not on the SPNR committee, where exactly that is, because the council owns quite a substantial piece of land, which nearly show currently, you know, owns and a farmer rents it off the council in the meantime. So I just were wondering what piece of land this is actually. And if it's that field, then I would like it withdrawn, because I know there's an expression of interest in some form or other from the Newry Rugby Club fraternity to, I'm not a member of, as Charlie correctly says, to have an interest in that in terms of the sport, the development of the rugby sport in the area.
This is as I understand it, this is a piece of largely agricultural land which is adjacent to our existing playing field there. This has been through strategic projects working group a number of times, and I know that councillors had asked officers to go away and engage with a number of organisations, including the rugby club. We have exhausted all of those avenues. There is issues around the flooding in that area as well. So we have now concluded that we as a council have got no strategic use for this land, and that's why it came forward through the strategic projects working group and through the PNR on that basis. So we have exhausted and had all those conversations with the various clubs in the locality.
So is that, I mean, I was asking my colleagues who are on it, and it seems to, you know, there's some doubts that it's not the big flat field as we know it is. Some other piece of land that I'm not entirely aware of. So I'll be a map over there I can have a look at. And the other thing, Chair, sorry Chair, as well as this, it's very difficult to get information because the computer system isn't working properly to be able to facilitate all the downloading of all the documents required tonight. And this is a regular occurrence here. You're sitting, the meeting's going on, everybody's sitting here with bad gateways, etc. We can't get stuff opened up. Liam says everybody's invited to what?
Everybody's invited to the strategic projects working group.
Yeah. Never heard of it. Sorry, I didn't realise. We were invited to the ones. Someone wasn't thought to leave. That wasn't on our list. We thought to leave.
All councillors
are invited.
Yeah.
Thank you. Let's please hand it over.
That's really a lesson.
We need a good committee. We're going to start.
The map's on the SPNR agenda.
And on the Strategic Projects Working Group agenda of the 14th of January as well.
And we did
this debate about what is on is relevant, really. I'm just on about, I know there's an expression from that particular organisation. Whether somebody else says it is or it isn't, but that's the latest news I've been approached by people there.
No.
So I know where the information is coming from. So I'd ask that about Swallon in the meantime.
Right, so we'll right, check, really. Somebody check that out. That's the rugby club having it.
You're looking for a proposal, Chair?
Yeah.
Yeah, yes, aye. It's lost the name of this, Chair. Stunk.
So the rugby club will be able to purchase it, Dagon, if it's...
If but you're off again, they're not interested in it.
Yes, well, they're...
I asked that question at the meeting. Brian Muxtower was explained to me there was a big slope of agriculture and that. But it's not a playing field, as I understand it.
Yeah, we went through this whole process about the floodplain and being able to, because they wanted to look at putting a football pitch onto it, and it wasn't suitable for a football pitch because we would have to create an area to move the water to.
Yeah, this is the thing with the agricultural show. Would you let the Newry Rugby Club are interested in? I believe the piece of land we discussed with the SPNR with the embankment, which was primarily agricultural land. I think that's what councillor.
That's why I've asked them to get clarity on. Is it the land that we rent out every year or not?
Well, that's it.
I know most of the things in the cottage. What?
Yeah. No, Dagger, it doesn't include the land with the new issue.
Pardon?
It doesn't include the land with the new issue.
It doesn't. Look at different people all again. That's great.
Okay.
Great news.
Thank you. That's okay, can we move on then to the next item?
Chairman, just before you go up, conscious that we, you know, we have reverse recommendations, can we get a proposer and seconder for all the other recommendations in the report?
Conscious that
yeah, Councillor Craig and Councillor Savage.
All agreed?
Yeah, okay.
All right, so we'll move on then to the minutes of the Active Healthy Community Committee held on the 21st of January. Again, for accuracy, so it's page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Councillor Andrews?
What?
The seconder?
Yeah.
Councillor Howe?
What?
Councillor Murray?
Yeah, we were looking to propose Willie Clark to the all-party group on sustainable development. At that meeting, we made a proposal that we would take it back to the parties. And
okay, so for three proposals,
two positions or one? Two positions. Maybe we deal with all the other items on that.
Yeah.
And then we'll do that then, Chairman.
Okay, so we're going to deal with any other items here, and then we'll come back. Have you?
Yeah, I have another.
Yes.
Sure. Your proposal, Councillor Burgess, is four names then?
Okay.
For two places, yeah. Just for the record, Councillor Murray proposed, I'll be a seconder then for Councillor Clark. Okay. And Councillor Taylor proposed. Taylor's proposal, Burgess.
Yeah.
Just practice for the elections for me.
Okay, so
it's going to be four.
Okay. Councillor Murray, do you want in something else?
Yeah.
Yep.
Thanks, sir.
Order, please.
It was on the issue of flooding at Jimstein Park in Newtown. So at this AHC meeting, we were brought a report from the Rivers Agency, which explained the main reason why Jimstein Park is consistently flooding. The recommendation discussed at that meeting was to make the landowner, the owner of the adjacent field, put a shore into this field. And the way it was explained at the meeting, instead of Jimstein Park flooding, let this man flood his own field. There were several questions at that meeting as to why would any farmer want to do that? Why would what interest would it be in his interest to do that? So there's been a lot of uncertainty around the results of this study and as to any consequences there could be for the landowner, and just certainly wanted to see about proposing maybe that the Rivers Agency would seek any alternative options, i.e. that watercourse that's coming down. We heard in the last one on Derelecky that the council would have no strategic use for land that floods. I think we've seen in this report that land's always going to flood. So I'm happy to make a proposal that the Rivers Agency go back up and see an alternative option as opposed to going after the landowner of the adjacent field.
Okay. Is everybody in agreement with that?
I just on the side, so on something else, but it's on the...
Well, can you give way?
Yeah. Terry, thanks.
Chair, I've certainly no objection to finding an alternative. I certainly don't want a landowner to be encountering problems if that's, you know, if we can find another way around this. But I want to be clear that, you know, the council is still behind the Jimstein Park project, and that there's no attempt to try and change that. But certainly, you know, I do want to find some way around this. You know, I certainly don't want any landowner being held responsible for something if that can be helped at all. You know, so just want to make that clear.
Okay. Right. So is everybody in agreement? Yeah. Okay. Councillor Andrews wants to.
Councillor Andrews. Yes, it's just going to do a bit of a backstep to the all party group and sustainable development. And I know that I chaired that meet that night, and there was two nominations, and in due course, Councillor Murray advises that the Sinn Féin nomination would fall in due course, which it has. So. And then it was agreed that the nominations be submitted to the party representatives meeting. It's just
that's all I just wanted to point out. He was in the mix that night, so that's just that. But apart from that, Jared, the minutes reflect an accurate true record of proceedings of the church.
Councillor McIntyre.
Yes, Chair, I've had a look at that map and I beg to disagree with you that it's totally wrong. The field you're selling is the field that the...
Right, so can you speak to Drina about that?
Yeah, it's just for the answer. Yeah. Different field altogether.
Okay.
Councillor
Kelly. Okay.
Chairman, we're going to hand out voting seats then in regard to item AHC 014-2019, the all-party group and sustainability. Sarah's handing out the sheets as a single transferable vote. Members of block 1, 2, 3 and 4, and member chairman, if once members have done the voting, if they could provide returns to Sarah, then maybe we'll adjourn then for, if you give us 10, 15 minutes then we can vote on it.
If you just present them to the top table.
Right. Do you want to just clarify, Liam, the candidates?
Yes, Chairman, the four candidates are those nominated, Councillor Andrews, Councillor Enright, Councillor Clark, and Councillor Burgess.
Councillor Mulgrew, do you raise an issue?
Yeah, sorry, Chair, just whenever we're getting ourselves organised for that, I would just like to again raise the Peace Centre in Camla. And again, it's of great concern for the community there that we are probably the only village in the district that doesn't have a community facility. So can I just reiterate the need for council officials to keep in contact with that group to see how they move forward. And if some of the councillors from the Mourns would just be quiet a wee minute, maybe you might be able to hear me. Could we just make sure that that is pushed forward?
Okay, thank you. Michael, do you want to give us an update on the Oni Trust?
All right. We want to get adjournment for 10-15 minutes.
Okay. We'll take an adjournment to the end.
Yeah. Well, that's fine.
Sure. I got a text from Valerie Hart and Liz Timmons. Can you do posters or proxies on this?
Chair, can you just read out the names again? People are forgetting who's supposed to be read out.
Chairman, it's the two nominations, Councillor Andrews, Councillor Enright, Councillor Clark, and Councillor Burgess.
They are, Jim.
Yeah, sorry, can we adjourn till the votes are collected?
or count it, sorry, 10 to 15 minutes, or as soon as you get them done. Can just... Nobody needs a building, please.
There is.
Jackson, do you want to announce that?
Chairman, just on, again, we've done our reports and representation. The votes are accordingly after the first preference votes was Councillor Clark 12, Councillor Enright 5, Councillor Andrews 15, Councillor Burgess 6. On the elimination of Councillor Enright, second preference votes, floor 4 for Councillor Clark, bringing them up to 16, and 1 for Councillor Burgess, which means that Councillor Andrews and Councillor Clark are duly elected.
Congratulations, gentlemen. Are you accepting speeches, Councillor Clark? Right, we'll move on then to the minutes of the Regulatory and Technical Services Committee held the 23rd of January. Again, for accuracy, with page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Proposed, Councillor Kern and Councillor Craig. Matters arising, Councillor Hardy.
Thank you, Chair. On page 4 on the Planning Committee's performance, I just want to raise, and as you're aware, Chair, I've raised here on several occasions where councillors can get no contact, no return of phone calls or emails from the planners. And I know when you're certainly dealing in a rural area where planning comes up all the time, it's a serious issue. They just will not return emails or phone calls to us. We are inundated with people who made applications for planning because they can get no contact with the planners, and they come through ourselves to get that. It's unbelievable. I had one resident last week who had a planning applications going on that long. They applied for planning after the child was born, and the child's now going to school, and they still haven't got a yes or a no from the planning service. Like, it's just unbelievable. And people are so frustrated with it. And I know there's a problem out there with agents, and it's not, I'm not particularly saying it's all the planner's blame, but they are saying, whenever I get talking to one maybe a month ago, and they talk about staff, they don't have the staff. Why are we not the staff? Why can we not hold the staff? Is there a problem in there with staff? Do you know, I think that management, that there is a serious problem there, and that management isn't taking it serious and taking hold of it and dealing with the problem. There's only 3 months left in this council, and I think there's an opportunity there to sort this out before we bring the new council comes in or whoever comes back here, that we have the planning committee operating properly. And I know that the councillors on the planning committee, the commitment they give to it, the work they do, I've seen the meetings they do, I've seen the ledgers, papers they go off and look, and doing fantastic work. But there's nothing more frustrating than residents contacting you, ringing you back in a week, any word, no word, a week later, any word, no word. It's totally and utterly unbelievable. But is anyone in control in there? Who was running the place? I think it's time. Or have we to go to take an independent person in to see what the problem is, how it can be sorted out? But there's a serious problem here, and I believe that we're turning the blind eye to it. I'm asking that before the end of this council that we take it on and that we sort it out and that we get the planning up and running properly.
Okay, Councillor Hardy, well, we do have a system in place where people ring in and there's call back.
Chairman, let me bring in.
An independent person to come in and look at it. There's a problem there.
Chairman, we've done a review of the planning system in terms of issues, both in terms of committees and in terms of decisions. Committees, there's an issue over that there. Marie maybe wants to pick up on that in terms of the work that she's done on.
Sure. As members know, planning transferred to ERT in February of last year. I have personally took on to do a review of planning, and as a result of that, we made amendments to the scheme delegation, which have only just been implemented in January of this year. As part of that, we also gave a commitment to look at the staffing structures. I have reviewed our staffing structures with our chief planner, and whilst we have issues where we have turnover of staff from maternity leaves and various different things, we do backfill as quickly as we possibly can. We recognise there is a communication issue, that is not something we would walk away from. We are trying to move to a position where we can remove the lagging call system and have direct contact with planners. It is going to take time. I've always said that from when I took this role over or took this department over. It's not something we're going to change overnight, and I acknowledge that there are challenges there. But as I said, we will be coming back again into councillors just to review the scheme of delegation and the implementation and changes that's made, and also how the communication works with staff.
No offence, but we're almost 5 years, and we almost haven't planned 5 years, and we haven't got to grips with it. And back before it transferred to the council, in the rural areas, a planner would come out, remember Bridget McGlinchey and Chris Boomer, and them would come out. They come into the area and they do a planning day, and they take 10 applications, and they'd say a yes or a no to it and sort of thing. I know we moved on from that, but we certainly moved a serious backward step for the rural people. And we're having a conference now on housing. We are the cause of the housing problem in the rural area. This council, this planet is the cause of the problem in it, I believe. And I'm just so frustrated with it, because I'm inundated with it every day, and I'm trying to make contact with planners. That's not happening.
Right. Chairman, you know, when the plan transferred, there was 1,600 of a backlog. There's less than 1,000 of a backlog now, but we know there has been issues in terms of schemes of delegation, because the level of delegation has been moved in terms of the backlog and planning committee, and planning committee members will know that, Chairman. So there has been a major piece of work. Second point is, we're the second highest number of applications in the north in terms of number of plan applications. Well, again, Chairman, you know, the issue in terms, we've had discussions of the rates process, and we have brought additional 3-4 additional staff in over what was allocated to us. But again, councillors keep saying to us about the cost of RPA. But I remember my members that, you know, people are saying this, RPA was supposed to save us money. It's cost us money because we have to apply at different planners. And if members want us to employ more, then it's going to cost the council additional money. And that's additional money on the rates.
Councillor Howe.
It's just regarding an item on page 4, the review of the waste management over Christmas and New Year. Probably like a lot of colleagues here, around the Christmas period, I was contacted constantly, I know, by frustrated locals who were trying to do the right thing, getting rid of the rubbish, disposing of it, recycling properly. And it got frustrated just with a lack of communication, and sort of what the word wasn't getting out, that the skips were filled, the site was closed, especially in Castlewellan. I hope the recommendations do be implemented as soon as possible, and with contingency plans put in place to ensure that this, you know, doesn't really happen again. Coming into spring, I know the garden waste is going to be one that's going to be, the skips are going to be full, and communication, I think, with the ground staff that are there on site, because they do a great job, do a lot of hard work. So I just hope that, you know, we need the review and the recommendations are carried out as soon as possible.
Thank you, Councillor Hall. Councillor Savage.
Yes, Chair, it's really sort of echoing the sentiments of Councillor Fergus, based on the record on page 7. I'd like to place on the record my thanks to Roland and the street cleansing team. There were about 6 to 10 major littering issues around Newry over the last week to 10 days, and the swift response of the teams was exemplary, and I've had a lot of members of the public who reported those incidents to me, coming back and thanking us for the swift response of the street cleansing team. And I think, you know, over the last 6 months there has been something of a reawakening of civic pride in our streets in Newry, and that I am having residents coming up on a regular basis pointing out any litter problems, and I think our teams are responding excellently to that situation, and I'd like to thank them for the work that they did. Police are on the record. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Sandwich. Councillor Walker.
Sure. And it's come back to Councillor Hardy in relation to planning. I hear his concerns, and they are genuine concerns, but there seems to be a breakdown here in communications within planning, because I have to say, and I really hold my hand on my heart to say this, that planning, any time I need a meeting, and it's usually once a month, maybe twice a month, with planners up here in this office, I'm always afforded that. If I email them, they're always emailing me back. So they are. So, you know, I wouldn't like it getting out there that, you know, our planning is in a complete mess, because there is obviously people there are doing their jobs and getting back to councillors. And I think that when a councillor irrespective of what area he comes from, whether it's down across McGlen or whether it's in Killeigh, if an email goes in relation to a query, that should be acted upon. So it should. So there is a breakdown in communication. I have nothing but praise for the officers that I work with up here within planning. You know, and I have to give credit where credit's due. But maybe senior officers can go away and look and see where the breakdown in communication is in relation to planning. We do know that the planning committee does an excellent job, a very, very intense job, so they do, and that, and they deserve credit. You know, a lot of councillors wouldn't even sit in that there because of the work that takes place in that. But I think we need to see where the breakdown communication is. And in relation to a review, we already had 2 or 3 years ago an independent review. We brought a gentleman over from England, so we did, and that. And they dealt with it. But let's get to the root cause of it. Why there's a breakdown, and councillors such as Councillor Hardy and that aren't getting correspondence returned to them or responded to.
Thank you, Councillor Walker, and again, appreciate your kind words to the Planning Committee. Councillor Sharvin.
Thank you, Chair. Two matters. I'll extend my thanks also to the Clemson team, especially Roland, on a couple of issues that I had asked for him to do, and he did it very quickly, so great thanks to Roland on that. It's just in relation to the circulation of the refuge listings that we used to get. I do continue to receive the Newry end, but the down end of those bins that haven't been collected has stopped for the last couple of weeks, and it is extremely useful for a councillor whenever a constituent or a resident contacts you, that you know the reasoning to why their bin wasn't collected and when it should be expected to be collected. So if we wouldn't mind just checking to see how we can rectify that so that it's back circulating again to all councillors. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Sharvin. Councillor O'Reilly.
Thanks, Chairman. Just on the bin collections and that, during the period of adverse weather when we had snow in parts of the moors, and I know the bin men did do their best to get caught up with schedules, whatever. But the Castle Nevin Office of Road Service, I couldn't believe how helpful those people are and how obliging they are. Because I phoned them, and literally they were back within an hour, phoned them up, do check up, see how we're getting on. But there's an issue, because when the Eastern Division, based at Castle Nevin, have now taken on responsibility for some of the salting up as far as Kilkeel from Newcastle, whereas the Newry office is from Newry on down to Kilkeel, and there seems to be some confusion there. And the Castle Nevin people clearly advised me. They said, look, we will go and do those bits of roads to schools and whatever at your request, but we need to search an engineer in Newry to locate. So I immediately get on to the Newry office and continually ringing, expecting calls back, emailing. And today I got an email back from Newry saying that your query has been registered and you'll get a response in 14 days. You know, how can there be such a fundamental difference between two roads offices? It just does not add up. And Chairman, I said it before, I would appreciate if this council would support a motion that requests that the Mourns area is all put into Eastern Division, just to simplify.
We should bring that motion to the council. Councillor Riley, we've drifted away from bin.
Yeah, I know we have. So we have. Chairman, it was just the fact that, you know, our people, it's affecting the council workers as well as the public. You know, thank you.
Councillor Hannah.
Chair, just on going back to planning. I would have some sympathy, sir, with Councillor Hardy, sir. Would. I know, maybe slightly different to you, Ty, I do email and I do get responses, but most of the responses back, if you ask them to do anything, it's always negative. And it's a massive effort there for them to do anything for you. Should it be to request meetings to try to facilitate problems to be sorted out? You don't. It's always negative, sir. You maybe get one meeting in 10 if you request it. That's just how poor it is. I don't know if Terry's finding the same problem as I am. I am on the planning committee. I can do certain things. I can request meetings that I can between a planning officer and to facilitate with an agent. it's almost impossible to get that sorted out now. So it is. Anytime I do it, it's always negative. The planners have dug their heels in, so they have, and they will not even for subsidy. If you have a problem, you have to talk to you do. And I do want Marie to take that on board. There is a problem, Marie. There's definitely a problem. And Terry, you are correct on that. I would agree with you.
Thank you, Councillor Hannah.
Marie, do you...
Councillor Clark.
Chair, just briefly on the planning issue. I have to say, I agree with Billy in regards to any time we want a meeting and that, it's usually accommodated. But at times, you know, there is issues in regards to communication. I'm not getting into individual officers, but some officers are better at responding than others. So there has to be, I think what Billy's saying, that if an elected representative, you know, is not getting a response for over a fortnight, there's issues there, and them issues have to be dealt with. And if that's the way we're being treated as elected representatives of this community, then you can only surmise then that agents and the public are even getting worse of. So we do have to address the communication issue. The other point is in regards to the pre-application discussions. I think that is essential, that there's more effort put into facilitating them types of meetings, where we're having meetings at the beginning of the process and not at the end of the process, when somebody's getting a refusal or whatever, and then you're looking for site meetings and meetings at that stage. It's too late at that stage. The officers went through a lot of work at that stage. It needs to be done at the start of the process. And we have interest in Marie that extra officers will be delegated to this service, because by reviewing the scheme of delegation, reducing the amount of work and files going to the planning committee, this was to enable officers to be freed up. So them resources need to be provided for pre-application.
Chair, if I can just come in on the scheme of delegation,
yep.
We have just implemented that system. We've only held our first meeting, so we haven't seen any real outcomes of that yet. It is going to take a number of months to actually get a good understanding of how that will work. It has been quite positive to date. But the comments today, I take them on board. I am aware of some of the issues, and I will continue to work with the officers on that and with councillors.
Sure. Just on the, again, not to delay the whole debate on this too much, but I feel I must say that maybe thought should be given by management to setting up a code of conduct on how the planning officers deal with us as councillors and the public, and that there is a similarity between the two offices, because what I can hear and what I hear on the ground is that there's slightly different ways of dealing with applicants and people in the two offices. That can develop over a period of of years historically. So I think thought should be given to that the two offices will either return calls to agents and applicants, or they won't. We can't have one plan officer in communicado with people and then another officer won't do it. We need to agree what we want as councillors, what we want them to do on behalf of us and the public, and then they stick to it and adhere to that. That they're not going off on tangents and you return calls, you return it, somebody else will have a discussion, somebody else won't. We need to have it very clearly laid out for them so as to have confidence in that, And I do hear you talking about the new scheme of delegation improving matters. We were told that was the planning committee was holding all the whole thing up, and I have yet to see any of the old historic applications going back 15 and 16 years, some of them. Not one of them has come to that new delegation yet. Not one of them. And we were told that this was holding, it was the planning committee was the problem, and because we weren't able to deal with all these applications, but this new system was going to bring all these forward. Not one has appeared yet. That list is going on. Still there.
Chair, can I just clarify for the record that in relation to the performance of planning, I have always been clear that it's an issue for the planning committee, it's an issue for officers, and it's an issue for agents. It's a holistic problem and something that's going to take some time to work through and to overcome.
Okay, thank you, councillors. We'll move on then to item 10, which is the Minutes of the Audit Committee meeting taken based on the 15th of January 2019, again for accuracy. So we've page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. To the proposer, please.
Councillor McGrew, second.
Any matters arising? Nope. We'll move on then to
No,
I think it's that until the budget's set by the Secretary of State now, we won't know that, and we're not anticipating that until March.
Sure, we'll move on then to correspondence.
Sure, that's right. I see their procurement update, and it's something that I've been trying to do some work on, and it's about how this council handles procurement in terms of local businesses. I've had a few meetings with local business people and council officers. I've spoken to Doreena about it, but it's just to emphasise the need and for the optimum opportunities, really, for businesses inside this council area to get council work. And there has been some apparent walls put in in place that prevent this under the guidance apparently of the EU regulations. But I do think I've been told there's another way of doing this, that it may be more cumbersome, but it will actually result in more jobs being created and sustained in the Newry Morning Council town area, while we can still do this legally, I'm told. So I would like to see that addressed certainly in the coming months, and most definitely when the new council takes over reins, that we will be able to facilitate and enhance jobs that are being created and be sustained in this area going forward.
Thank you, Councillor McAteer, and we're encouraging our constituents to shop local. I think we should be indeed shopping local ourselves. Okay, so we'll move on then to the National Association of Councillors Conference on the Environment and whatever that is, it's energy.
Municipalisation.
That's it. Just noted. National Association of Council events, is just for noting again.
Just for bringing members' attention to the event.
Elected member workshop on data and evidence and community planning.
Just for to let members know, maybe if anyone wants to give. I haven't probably got the up to date, what are they asking? What's the ask?
Just asking for members to go.
It's for an open, is it? Okay. Save a date, okay.
Okay, so then we'll move on to our notice of the motion. So, motion number 14 on addressing dog filing. And we're sending that to RTS.
Just propose and second it.
So we'll just propose and second it. Councillor Hannah and Councillor Andrews. Do you want to just read your motion?
The chair will read it. This council is proactive in addressing the drug filing covering Newry Morning Down Council area by enforcing the bylaws of this council rigorously with fines. This council should increase staffing in this enforcement area until the problem is under control.
Thank you. Now we've had notice of motion and request for a joint departmental task force in relation to
chairperson.
No, I can't come in.
I was seeking my motion on the paper tonight to be an amendment to that motion, and I don't think it should be referred to RTS because it actually is attempting to censure management for their failure in this area.
Can't be discussed.
So, motion number 15. So that's Councillor Clark.
Thanks, Chair. I'll just read the motion then. This council will write to the Department of Communities and the Department for Health asking that a joint departmental task force is formed to explore what interim measure can be taken in relation to fixed odds betting terminals and reduction of their maximum stake in line with other jurisdictions across these islands. the council calls on the Department of Health to recognise that gambling is a public health issue and undertakes to ensure more support services are provided to address gambling problems. This should include public health education and awareness raising programmes and adequate funding to addiction service providers is made available to ensure service quality. Speaking to the motion, we should focus on the issues of fixed odds betting terminal legislation, which was recently passed in England, and which will see the maximum stake reduced from £100 to £2 on these machines. And this legislation is going to be introduced in April 2019. It was a bit of a U-turn after the resignation of the minister in charge. They were going to go for the full 12 months before they introduced it, but they have now seen sense. This will obviously not apply here, however. William Hill and other bookmakers have announced they will reduce the stake on their FOTBs voluntary, on a voluntary basis. As it stands currently, a person could gamble £18,000 per hour on these machines. So that gives you some idea of the amount of money that could be put into them, if they had the money to do so. We know also that these machines are often situated in high deprivation areas and have been described as the crack cocaine of the gambling world. In the absence of clear and up-to-date legislation, we must ensure that the relevant government departments, health and communities are doing all they can to address the issues of problem gambling and ensuring relevant funding is made available to gambling addiction services. Sinn Féin will ensure that when the Assembly is returned, we will prioritise the introduction of new legislation that will deal with the advances in technology in the gambling world. In the North, the relevant Department for Communities acknowledges that the current legislation, which is 1985, is complex and outdated. The legislation has not kept pace with increased developments in technology, including online gambling, which is often referred to as remote gambling. A review of the North of Ireland's outdated gambling policy, practice and law had been under the consideration of the then Department for Social Development for a number of years. A public consultation on the future of regulation of gambling in the North of Ireland was published in February 2011. The Minister for Social Development, Nelson McCausland, announced in January 2013 his intention to update and improve gambling laws in the North, which would include, for example, a new section in the legislation dealing with the protection of children and young people, the adoption of gaming machines categories and standards currently used across the water. However, the bill was never introduced following the consultation. Fixed odds betting terminals, the legal status of fixed odds betting terminals in the North is uncertain. As I said, the order, the 1985 order, predates the development of these electronic machines. They have, as I said before, they are really addictive, and obviously people see the opportunity to win great amounts of money, and hence the labelling of it as crack cocaine gambling. Another problem with fixed odds betting terminals is that research suggests that they are mainly found clustered in the most economically deprived areas. The retargeting of these machines at the most disadvantaged people in our society. This can lead to rising levels of debt, poor mental health problems, relationship breakdowns, and even suicide. Likewise, the regular placement inside pubs where alcohol is sold makes intoxicated persons particularly vulnerable. I move the motion.
Okay, Councillor Savage.
Yes, Chair. We certainly, the SDLP, will be supporting the motion. Yeah, sorry, Chair. I am happy for Councillor Casey to second that. I don't know, it's no problem. Sorry, we called earlier than I thought.
We're calling. I need everybody to turn the lights off and on again. Oh, you're in, Chair. Aye. Yeah, go ahead,
Charlie.
Thanks, Chair. I just want to formally second the motion, and can I say a few words on it myself?
Yes, go ahead.
I do remember raising this at council a number of months ago.
Yeah.
Sure, the use of these terminals is widespread in the north of Ireland, and in England, as Willie has said, there has been consultation amongst the Department for Digital Culture, Media and Sport, and the maximum stake had been reduced from £100 to £2. But unfortunately, this does not apply in the north of Ireland, so therefore, the maximum £100 stake still stands. And this highlights the destructive impact that these machines can have, not just on the individual's life, but also the impact it can have on family members or those who are close to them. Problem gambling can lead to a breakdown of relationships of friendships, and in some cases, a near total breakdown in communication between the gambler and the outside world. Trust and theft are just some of the issues that I highlight in regards to these breakdowns in relationships. The Centre for Economic and Business Research showed that problem gambling also carries a huge economic and societal cost. Beyond this, the terminals affecting society are more widely associated with violent crime and money laundering. FOBTs are now the third biggest gambling sector after online gambling and the lottery. Gamblers in the north of Ireland, and listen to this, bet more than £500 million on these per annum. Currently in the south, these terminals are not prohibited, but under a gentleman's agreement, they are not in bookmakers, although some of these type machines do exist in small casinos in the south, selling themselves private members' clubs. The FOBT prevalence problem faced in the north is far more acute. The promised legislation in the south is expected to make concrete the prohibition of these things. And as I said earlier on, we did raise this, I know I did raise this in council a number of months ago. And we had asked at that time, nearly 12 months ago, that a policy be put in place around these fixed odd betting terminals, especially being parochial in the newer area, after planning permission was sought for a new one in close proximity to one or two that already existed. But to my knowledge, that policy has not yet been formulated, and we need that action ASAP. Thank you very much, Chair. And thanks, Michael, for giving away.
No problem.
Chairman, I'm supporting the motion, Chairman. And I explained to my colleague here, Glenn, not that a couple of weeks back, I had a really difficult situation where not a working class family, or as Charles was saying there about where these fixed odds machines were, but a very affluent middle class family who had their lives literally destroyed by online gambling, with credit cards maxed out and in a very, very bad situation. And there has to be something done about it. And one of the people recently, or a guy recently mentioned to me that the GEA have a policy where their shirts, they will not allow any gambling type stuff on their shirts. And if you look at teams like Rangers and other teams, the 32 red across them. And what's that telling young people? What's that telling people within society, you know, to go out and gamble? And, you know, they talk about fixed odds and winning. The lady who owns 32 red is the wealthiest woman in Britain now, making $500 million a year or whatever. It's just incredible amounts of money. So that shows who wins from these. But, Chairman, I'd be supporting the motion. Something needs to be done about it.
Thanks, Councillor Walker.
Chair, thank you very much. And first of all, I'd like to thank Councillor Clark for bringing the motion. The DUP will be supporting it. And Councillor Clark's right in everything he has said in relation to it. Particularly, I have seen in my own area over years, people get in, putting their wages in there within 2 hours, and that then not able to go home to their wife or whatever because they'd no housekeeping for the week. I'd seen that on a regular basis. Councillor Clark's right. It has broke up families. People's got divorced over it and that because of these and that. And, you know, it's terrible when you can walk into a bookmaker's and put hundreds of pounds into these machines. So it is. Now, I like a wee flutter in the horses myself, but I'm only talking no more than £20-25 a week. But, you know, I never play these machines because I do know how easy it could be to get addicted to them and that. And I think we're lagging behind the rest of the United Kingdom here in relation to this. I've heard Charlie say there, Councillor Kissy say, that betting shops in the Republic of the Gentleman's Agreement not to have them. I would just like the betting shops in Northern Ireland maybe to have a gentleman's agreement not to have these, because they're making enough money through horse gambling, dog gambling through the dogs and that there. So there, I don't think they need these within their premises. So I don't. But we're supporting the motion, so we are.
Councillor Taylor. Chair, thank you. I'll also be brief. I want to certainly offer support on behalf of the Ulster Unionist Party for this motion, and I thank Councillor Clark for bringing it to the council chamber this evening. It's certainly very worthy of support by all of us here, and I think we could all describe situations or are aware of situations where individuals and homes have been broken up because of situations caused by gambling. And it is clear in terms of this fixed odds issue where there has been movement across the water, but certainly we find ourselves in a situation at the minute where there aren't those measures to try and mitigate the problems that are caused by this. And certainly, we as a council can outline our support here tonight, but it's clear that the departments do need to move in this and move in this quickly to ensure that these measures can be implemented. So I hope you'll follow on from tonight, and we do correspond with the relevant departments on this issue, that they can act upon it. Despite the fact we don't have a devolved government here, I certainly hope at this stage that they can move and they will have the power and authority to do that, because we need to do that as soon as possible.
Thank you. Councillor McMurray.
Thank you, Chair. Yep, happy to support the motion. Sort of digging into some of the statistics around it, Northern Ireland does have quite a significantly higher percentage of problem gamblers compared to other parts, be it Scotland, Wales, or England. And again, if you can dig into those, it's not just a certain socio-economic background. It goes across all genders, classes, and creeds. But there are certain groups which are certainly more susceptible to such a problem. And again, I think it's really important as well to highlight the good work that some of the local voluntary bodies do in offering counselling and support to people with such problems. So hopefully on the basis of this as well, council can be working in tandem with them in order to highlight these services in the future. So happy to support. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Savage.
Yes, Chair. The SDLP group are happy to support this very worthy motion. I think the reality is that in some cases these machines are actually killing some of our citizens, because they do lead to suicide, they do lead to marital breakdown, and they do lead to social problems in houses and in homes and communities. I know that in the absence of the legislation being applied to here due to the 2005 Gambling Act not carrying across the Irish Sea to here, and the bookmakers, I know at least four of the major bookmakers have followed a voluntary code in relation to this and have extended the £10 or the £100 limit down to £2 to their gaming machines in Northern Ireland. I think that's a very welcome move. And the result of that, as a result of that, I would maybe ask that we maybe put in a line to your very good motion from Councillor Clark, that we call on all bookmakers in Northern Ireland to apply this code voluntarily, because I think that's the most immediate response we could get to try and solve this problem here and now before we get any legislation in place in the absence of an assembly. And maybe that might be a very immediate response that we could get in trying to save some of the marital relationships and indeed some of the lives of our citizens. So I've been proposing that we add in that we call on all bookmakers to extend the voluntary reduction as in line with other major bookmakers that have done. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Clark, are you willing to accept that amendment? Yeah, that's okay. Okay, so do you like to sum up, Councillor Clark?
Just briefly, I'd like to thank all the members for their support for the motion. I'm happy enough to take the amendment from Councillor Savage. Heck, it enriches the motion. In regards to the devastating impact that members talked about, at times partners aren't even aware until it's too late. The credit cards have been maxed out, money lenders involved, there's the remortgages of homes. And this basically leads to the losing of home and then the breakdowns in the relationships and families and indeed lives being lost also in regards to that. And we had a presentation from the Southeastern Trust Addiction Services and also Pat McGinn was here from Concilio. And they spoke of the massive increase in addiction in services that was required from them in regards to a hidden problem, they were saying. You know, it's concealed the problem a lot of the time. But as I say, I welcome that support and I hope we can make a difference with the motion.
Okay. Okay, folks, so I think everybody's in agreement there, so we'll move on then to item 16. Notice of motion of failure control, littering, dog biling, flyer tipping, unrelated issues received from Councillor Enright. Again, we're moving this to RTS. So if you'd like just to read out your motion and then get a seconder. Just read out.
Chairperson, my motion reads, this council censures Newry and Mourne and Down management over the failure to control littering, dog fouling, fly tipping and related issues. We note with concern the stark contrast between the statistics for this council and statistics for Ards and North Down Council. We do not accept the contention that legislation is not fit for purpose and direct council management to learn from Ards and North Down.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Enright. Have you got a seconder?
I'll second that, sir.
Okay, thank you. Okay, then, so we'll move on to the emergency motion. So we need to do a suspension of standing orders. That's proposed by Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Owen. So it requires over 80% support of the Council Chamber. Do we have. Is everyone in favour? Yeah. Okay. All right, so the motion is that Murray Moore and Down District Council does not consent and never will consent to hosting a geological disposal facility in our council area. So I'll ask John Trainer to Councillor Trainer to.
I suppose, sir, maybe the best thing to do is that if we propose that the council notes with great concern the conclusions from the National Geological Screening for a Geological Disposal Facility by the Radioactive Waste Management. Which suggested that parts of Murray, Mourne and Down District and other areas in Northern Ireland might be suitable for a geological disposal facility. This council will write to the Minister for Business, Energy and Industrial Strategy stating the council's position, as read by yourself, that Murray, Mourne and Down District Council does not consent and never will consent to hosting a geological disposal facility in our council area or any part of Northern Ireland. And as an add-on to that, this council will ask the other 10 councils in the north to take a similar position and to equally write to the minister. Chairperson, it's important that we as a council make very clear our position on the siting of a geological disposal facility and to show the people of this council area and beyond that we are concerned with the potential risks of such a facility being sited here in the north, and we will not sit idly by and allow it to happen. We must send a clear message to the British Minister that we do not want nuclear waste dumped into our areas of national beauty or anywhere in our districts for that matter, and neither do our residents here in North Murray, Mourne and Down and further afield. We do not want nuclear waste transported across the Irish Sea, brought into our ports and transported on our roads and through our communities. We ask our colleagues and councils across the north to take a similar position to equally show their concern for the residents in their respective areas. For years, our communities and our politicians in this council area have raised the issue with Sellafield and the storage of nuclear waste on that site. If we were to raise issue with nuclear materials being stored on the coast of England but were to stay silent on proposals for storage here in Northern Ireland, especially at a time where the public are concerned, it would be a damning indictment of us as a council. So I'm hoping that we have unanimous support in this council today. This is not a political, this is not about politics. This is about us as 41 councillors doing something that is right for the people of this area. And I hope that people will make sure that they remember that this isn't about politics. We need to remove the politics. We have to look out for our people and for the health and the safety of our people and for their well-being. Thank you.
Okay. Sorry, I should have pointed out that the motion was brought by SDLP, Sinn Féin, UUP and DUP Council, and we're taking one speaker from each grouping. Councillor Clark, you're the second the motion. Can you turn your lights off, and then I'll bring you back in as Lynn, Henry, and or sorry, whoever's deciding to do it among the independent grouping.
Thanks,
Lynn, Jill, and
thanks, Chair. I welcome the motion coming forward, and delighted to be seconding the motion. And I'd like to thank Councillor Traynor as well for bringing the initiative forward. In the Sinn Féin group, and we had talked about a motion. It was very late in the day. There was a lot of discussion on social media over the weekend, and a lot of anger, and outrage and fear in the community that this sort of proposal. And while it will never materialise, it does create a great deal of fear in local communities, and they turn to us as elected representatives, for answers. And at times, we are not involved in any of the processes in regards to how areas are even looked at. But in regards to Sinn Féin, we're in total opposition to underground geological disposal facilities in our council area, or indeed anywhere in the island of Ireland. And then the motion covers that. The government talk about a consent-based process. I can assure you there's no community consent for such a facility to be coming into our island. And then the government also talks about they want willing communities. Well, this community isn't willing, and there's no community in Ireland will be willing to facilitate such a disposal facility. And I suppose how this sort of approach came about is in regards to the government promising particularly working class communities in the north of England, basically bribing working class communities in regards to that they will provide, if they find a willing community or a consenting community, that they will provide investment and jobs and funding for that community so that it will enable them to store deadly nuclear waste in them communities. You can be sure they'll not be storing it down in the south of England. It'll be in working class communities that are looking to store such facilities. Cumbria, again, had been earmarked for the disposal site to put more poisonous waste in the Cumbria coastline. But this was dropped after the Cumbria Council pulled out of the process because of there was an independent survey carried out in regards to fault lines and the rock formation. So it shows you how dangerous the type of facility this could be, especially when you're so close to waterways and tides. And just to follow up what John was saying, this is a cross-party motion. It's not about party politics. It's about doing the best for our community. Our whole island, we're trying to promote tourism. We're trying to promote a healthy, green environment. We're looking at having a geopark, in our area also. With a number of areas out such as down natural beauties, there's three areas in this council area. So there's total opposition in regards to this. Talked to Chris Hazard, MP, last night in regards to it, and he again has talked to Michelle O'Neill, who will be raising it with the Secretary of State as soon as possible. So Sinn Féin totally opposed to any suggestion that there be disposal of nuclear waste in on the island of Ireland.
Thanks, Councillor Clark. Councillor Hannah's next. Can you turn your lights off too?
Thank you for doing it. Chair, just speaking on this issue, as Councillor Clark has said there, over the weekend, it seems to have really came to light about these proposals or suggestions. I'm not sure whether what has really ignited it just in the last few days, but to make it clear, myself and our group would not be in support of any nuclear waste dumps or anything of that similar nature. Should it be nuclear or any toxic waste of extremely strong chemicals in our area at all? Just over the last 40, 50, 60 years, the South Down Coast has been one of the most exposed coasts to any nuclear possible incidents that would have taken place. And just, I know there is high incidence of cancer and other related diseases, so there is. And I know, just for example, in Annalyn, for instance, there is a large cluster of motor neuron disease, so there is. So whether it's coming from that, I do not know. But the community does not want to be exposed to this. We in the DUP grouping will not be supporting it, so we are. There is a lot of outrage, and if this did go ahead, it will expose generations upon generations in the future to these possible contaminations, should it be in the water or whatever. So us in the DUP grouping will not be supporting in any way. The one other thing that just a councillor cleaner could possibly clarify, whenever this came to committee about a year and a half ago, it was him proposed the surveys. So if we could just clarify his position on that. Thanks.
Then surveys have never come before. It has not. No, it was not. It was a completely different thing. It's a process, yeah, but allowing people to be consulted on it, and we didn't deny the constituents the right to be consulted, and that's what John proposed. Yeah.
Chairman,
can you give way to Jill there, and newsboys can decide which one's speaking on behalf of the independent.
Chairman, I've absolutely nothing to do with this group. Never have. Never have.
Right, Henry, that's okay. Can you give way to Jill? She's next on the list. Go ahead, Councillor McCauley.
Yeah, just really to concur with the other speakers, Ulster Unionist Party, we were contacted over the weekend as well from residents and sharing their deep concern about this and their fears. So certainly as a party group, and we would certainly not be welcoming anything, any geological disposal facilities in this area or Northern Ireland at all. So we'll be concurring with the motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McCauley. Councillor Enright.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, for decades, both our legacy councils were members of the Nuclear Free Councils Association, and indeed, as is this council as well. It really speaks to the extraordinary, overhanded, and quite ignorant treatment of the people of Northern Ireland that a Westminster-based body would be looking at our area, a nuclear-free area, to dump its nuclear waste. It's absolutely unacceptable to us in the independent group, but it speaks to the sheer ineptitude of the current government that in so many ways the power at the moment in Westminster.
Thank you, Councillor Enright.
Councillor Hannah had been made a few statements, sir, just about what I had done maybe last year. Yes, you wouldn't mind, I can clarify for him if you'd like.
I did clarify. You can do that when you're summing up. Going to ring
Councillor Ray. If you'd like to remove the remarks that I wanted such a project to go ahead, because I think that would be totally unfair.
Okay. Right, Councillor Riley.
Yeah, thanks very much, Chairman. Chairman, I would be opposed to one of these massive dumps in our area, but I think we have to remember that the island of Ireland generates massive amounts of radioactive material through industrial X-rays, through cancer treatments for radioactive isotopes, through X-rays themselves. So that stuff has to be buried somewhere. You know, those things have a half-life of 200,000 years or whatever, and you can't just wish them away. Now, I know that our stuff from all of Ireland goes mostly to Scotland, but at some stage we're going to have to start looking after whatever we generate here ourselves, or unless the UK and the ROI get together and do an agreement with the Americans or some of those people who are building massive facilities away underground over there. But then again, is it fair to dump our stuff on the Americans? So we have to always be mindful of the fact that we have benefited from these things through medical treatments and whatever. And the nuclear stuff from the military is nearly all reprocessed.
at Sellafield. So it's, we're not talking about that. We're talking about every day. We're talking about every day use of the beneficial aspects of radiation. So while I don't want it here, I don't think if there was somewhere else in Northern Ireland that did want something like that, we shouldn't be discouraging people. If some community says, right, we want that, then it should be up to them.
Okay, Councillor Tenner, would you like to sum up?
Well, Chairperson, I think that you can hear from the room what the general consensus is, that people are against this, and there are many issues that people have highlighted with regards to health implications over the many years on the coastline. And I think that this room tonight has shown what can happen whenever politics is about local people, how people can come together and actually try and, you know, work through differences to come to an agreed position. And that's an important thing, and it's important for people to see that we're united in objecting this, especially it's such a big issue for a lot of people across our coastline. So it's extremely important to see that we as a council are united in this and that we're pushing the initiative. So that's all I would like to say on the council chairperson.
Okay, so I'll take the whole room's in agreement and we'll accept the motion.
Okay, folks, that's us tonight. Thank you very much for your attendance.
Thank you.
That's